Thanks for tuning into the Refuge Church Sermon Podcast. It's our prayer that the Spirit would use God's Word to stir your affections for Christ during this time. While we're glad to provide this online content, please remember that it's not intended to replace commitment and connection within a local church family. Now, here's this week's message.
It's a short sermon today, and I'm not lying to you. We're going to start a new series over the summer, and so I knew that this would be long stuff, and so so I'm going to be shorter. So if you're looking at the clock going, oh my goodness, don't worry. All right. When I was in college, my friend and I worked at a golf course, and I don't know if you've ever worked at a golf course. We were on the grounds crew. We laid sod. We didn't have like the fancy pants jobs where you get to rub elbows with the big boys. We were supposed to stay out of the way. Like that was our job. Lay sod, don't let anybody see you. So this is what we did, and if golf course work starts at 5:30 in the morning, so we had to be there early, got out about 3 or 3:30, long days out in the hot sun. One day what we decided is we were going to go walk the Lewis and Clark trails after work. We were young and actually had energy back then. And so we went, it's down Highway 94, and we start walking this trail, and it's get there about 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that, and we go about a mile, and there's this beautiful bluff. You get up over this beautiful bluff, and you're overlooking the Missouri River, and it's phenomenal. If you haven't been down there, well, wait till the end of the story, but if you haven't been down there, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful trail, and it's very picturesque. And so we stayed there for a little while and just hung out and talked, rested a little bit, drank some water, and then we walked a little bit further, maybe a mile further, and there was another bluff, and it was an even more beautiful view, overlooking, I think, that's not Chesterfield. Whatever, overlooking the river and across the river, and just a beautiful picture. And we thought, all right, this is good. And at this point, it was probably getting close to 5:30 or so. We stayed there for a little while, and we thought, all right, the sun's getting a little bit low. We should keep going, make sure we get back. And so we walked at a brisk pace. This was before cell phones, so we had no idea. And we thought, okay, well, the parking lot, the trailhead's going to be right up here around the corner. And it wasn't. And then we went up a little bit more around another corner, and it wasn't there. And so we decided to run for a little bit, maybe get the pace going, and surely that would bring it faster. And not only did we keep going, but we noticed that this thing was starting to loop back, and we were starting to pass paths that we had already taken. And so the sun is getting a little bit lower at this point. We're starting to get a little bit panicked. And the path never seemed to end. And so finally, 7 miles later, we had finally made the full loop back into the parking lot. Keep in mind, we took some time at the bluff. Like, didn't take us that long to go 7 miles. But we finally got back to the parking lot. The sun was really getting low at that point. It was dusk, and it was a little bit panicky, right? Always check the signs first on how long the trail is. Listen, this is a lot like the Christian life. This is a lot like discipleship. It's reflective of what it is to follow Jesus. It is a long path. Tim Keller talks about that Christianity it's not a doorway, it's a path. A doorway, when you think about a doorway is something you open and you're there. You have hit your arrival, your destination, you're there. A path is one foot in front of the other. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. It's a constant moving. It's a constant pilgrimage. It's a constant walk. You have to keep your eyes on the path. Sometimes there's beautiful views, and sometimes you can stop and take it in, and sometimes it's daunting, and sometimes there's daunting valleys. Sometimes there's deep forests where you can't see a whole lot of what's in front of you. Sometimes the path seems wide. Sometimes it seems very, very narrow. But it's one foot in front of the other, trusting God's provision, trusting his guidance on good days when the views seem great, and on bad days when it seems very, very daunting. Two things are imminent. Stay on the path and keep walking. So here's the thing, if I or if anybody else has told you that Christianity is not that, that Christianity is trust Jesus and all your problems will be fixed, trust Jesus and the world's problems will be solved, trust Jesus and you will have the exact same views as the person sitting next to you, it's not the way it goes. It is a path. It's long. It's faithful. It's faithful obedience. It's easy to get people interested in Christianity. What's hard is to sustain, to continue to walk. Last week, we finished up the series on the Trinity, and what we talked about is the work of God in the Holy Spirit, this idea of sanctification, right, if you were here last week. And what we talked about with sanctification is that sanctification is like the Brita water filter, right, where you pour the water in on top, and it's nasty, and it has stuff, if you live in Fort Worth, like I did when we had to get a Brita water filter, and then it goes through this little magical tunnel where something happens, where it goes through training and it gets filtered and it gets tossed back and forth and then it comes out the bottom as pure and whole. And it's a long process and it runs through the gamut. It doesn't happen overnight. It can be difficult. But that is the process of sanctification. From going from trusting Jesus and being justified before God to this bottom being purified, being glorified, being in the presence of Jesus and made whole. And in between that is the process of making someone who has turned from the image of Jesus and cleansing them and refining them to actually bear the image of Jesus. And it's a long process. And it's difficult. It can be easy to trust Jesus in a moment. It can be easy to make an emotional decision. It can be easy to rally around a cause. It can be easy to become a Christian when we think that Jesus is the solution to all of our daily problems. But that Jesus is it's the sustaining. It's the walking the path. It's going around one more corner. It's the sanctification that's the hard part, that hidden process that happens in the middle of that water filter. And what often happens is that's where it's easy to get distracted. That's where it's easy to let other things become more important. That's where it's easy to say, well, if we just do this for a little while, that'll be okay. That's where the things we talk about every week. That's where money. Do I have to be this generous? Do I really have to love this neighbor? Shoot, man, we're dedicating kids. Surely this sport is more important right now, and it's okay if we miss one or two or four or eight or all Sundays. It's amazing how much stuff can come in to just veer us off a little bit. And it's sanctification. It's the hard part. It's where the seed gets choked out by thorns. It's where we get distracted. It's where we get offended. The promise that we have, the promise that we cling to, Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So the hope we have is that God is faithful even on the days that we are not, but he does call us back to repentance, to faith, trust, and to continue left foot, right foot, one foot in front of the other. The other aspect of this journey of sanctification, God never does this just with individuals. God does this with his bride. The pursuit of Jesus is not an individual, not simply an individual pursuit. It's a people. It is his people that pursue them. We do this together. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus together. We're being filtered and walking through this path together. So today we're going to start a series in the Psalms for the summer. And internally, I started all of those with the letter P, and you didn't even know it. But we're going to, it's going to be on discipleship, on this long path. And so what I want for us to do in this, and we're going to give you some ways to do this as we go, but to walk this together, to do this with other people. So before we get into the specific Psalms that we're going to walk through, I'm going to give you some assignments over the summer. And this is going to be the first assignment. You ready for it? I'm going to give you a psalm to memorize, to let dwell in your mind, to root your mind in, all right? And it's Psalm chapter 1. It's a great psalm. It's a psalm of David. And what I want you to do is I want this to drip from your minds as we walk through this journey together over the summer. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read it, and I want you to just listen and soak this in, okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. You can respond by saying, thanks be to God. I want you to sit in that for just a minute. And what I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to read back through it again. And as I read back through it again, here's what I want you to think about. Where do you walk or stand or sit? Whose voices are loudest in your life right now? Whose opinions? Whose thoughts? What law, what meaning of life most occupies your mind? What answer? And this is not to shame, this is not to judge, but this is an invite to come back, to be rooted and planted by the stream. So let me read this over you again and let that go through your mind as we read through it one more time. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here's what we're going to do this summer. We're going to walk through a section of the Psalms called the Songs of Ascent. It's Psalm chapter 120 through 134. It's 15 Psalms. And this is what the story goes. This is how the story goes. And there's some little caveats on how accurate this is. But the story of these songs is that these were the songs that were sung by the people of Israel, by the faithful people of God, as they would walk up either from the northern section of Israel or maybe from some of the coastal areas as they would ascend the hill to Jerusalem, which is where the temple was. Every year, three times a year, the faithful people of God would ascend this hill to Jerusalem, and they would worship at the temple, and there were three different festivals that they would celebrate. In the spring, they would come to celebrate their deliverance out of Egypt. This is called the Passover. This is what we just came out of with Palm Sunday and with Easter. And they would worship the God who rescued them. And they would remember, this is our God who has rescued us. And then they would come back 50 days later for the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. And what they would do there is the people would ascend to Jerusalem to offer the first fruits of the grain offering before the Lord. They would be reminded of their commitment and their commission as the people of God to be faithful and trust him and bring their first fruit offerings to him and rejoice in his goodness. And then in the fall, they would celebrate the Feast of Booths or the Tabernacles, and they would remember God's provision in the wilderness and also his provision for the harvest. And they would bring, again, their grain offerings before the Lord in gratitude, being reminded of his blessing and his provision. That God's people are a rescued people and a delivered people. That God's people were a commissioned and committed people. And that God's people are a blessed and provided for people. And three times a year, they would ascend to Jerusalem. And these songs, these Psalms, 120 through 134, recorded, were these were the ones that they would sing, that they would remember to proclaim, to confess, to praise, to rejoice, the reminder of a call to obedience and to hope and to faithfulness and joy. These are the songs that the faithful people of God would sing as they walked together this road up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Now, in the Old Testament, the temple was the presence of God. It was built as the house of God. It's where God dwelled. It was his Shekinah glory that dwelled in the house of the temple. And so to go and to make offerings of gratitude or repentance or offerings of praise, you would go to where the presence of God dwelt, where his priests were, and you would make those offerings. And that was, in the Old Testament, that was the temple. And so if you wanted to know, how do I get to God? What someone would tell you is, here is the way to Jerusalem. Here is the way to the temple. And you would go to the temple. And then when you got to the temple, you would have different rituals of cleansing and cleaning and baptism in order to make yourself clean to be in the presence of God. And then depending on what kind of sacrifice you were bringing, whether it was a praise sacrifice or a sacrifice of repentance, then you had other rituals to follow to bring sacrifices of praise or repentance or thankfulness. Okay, now what we see in the New Testament is when Jesus comes down, when he dwells among his people, is that Jesus himself has become the temple. I think it's John 2 where he says, I will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And what he's talking about is, I am going to become the place where God dwells. And I am going to cover the cleansing, and I am going to cover the sacrificial rules, and you will come to me. John 14 records Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. And he tells them, believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus over and over again invites worship of him. And he says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. And I'm going to my Father's house. And certainly when they'd have heard my Father's house, they probably would have thought the temple. And he said, I will come back for you to bring you with me, that where I am, there you will also be. And so Thomas, probably very confused, as were they all, but Thomas asks a good question. And Thomas says, Jesus, how are we supposed to know where you're going if you haven't told us the way? And what does Jesus say? I am the way. I am the way. I am the path. The law that we meditate on, the way the world was designed to be, that's Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws our eyes toward him, that actually changes our hearts to love him. The path that we walk is Jesus. The presence of God is Jesus. The cleansing to make us pure and clean is Jesus. The sacrifices of praise and gratitude and repentance of sin is Jesus. That he is the way. And so what we're going to do this summer is we are going to walk along the way. Capital W, capital T, capital W. That the Holy Spirit would draw our hearts' affection and our minds' attention on Jesus, and that we would trust him as Savior and follow him as example as he brings us before the presence of God the Father, no longer as alienated and hostile in mind, but as adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so how do we do that? It's easy when you have a path, right? Just walk this way toward the temple and then follow the rules. But how do we do that? How do we do it when Jesus says, I am the path? One step at a time. God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's daily bread. We've talked about this before, how often our prayers contain, God, give me my lifetime supply of bread so that I don't have to worry about it anymore, and then you'll have time for those other sinners. And Jesus says, that's not how I work. One step at a time. Trust in my goodness, my faithfulness. Keep your eyes on me. We're going to follow, Eugene Peterson, who was a phenomenal pastor. He has walked through these songs of ascent in a book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And so we're going to kind of use that as a guide. So if you want to pick that up, I have free copies for next week to make sure you come back, if you want. But it's actually a quote used by Friedrich Nietzsche, if you can believe this. Friedrich Nietzsche, if you know anything about him, which is fascinating to read about him, by the way, Friedrich Nietzsche was mostly known for his philosophy. He was not in any way a follower of Jesus. In fact, he believed that the Enlightenment would bring about the end of religion and the need for religion. But there was one area where he very much saw clearly, and it may have been because Friedrich Nietzsche had a lifetime struggle with disease and with lots of various illnesses that would and debilitating things that took their toll. But this is what Nietzsche said. The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. There, thereby results, and has always resulted in the long run, something which has made life worth living. In other words, if there is not a point, if there is not an end goal to our life, then what is the point at all? Suffering is not worth it. Distraction is fine. Eat, drink, and be merry. Even if any kind of religion, what Nietzsche would say, anything, if you have to have some point that makes it worthwhile. What the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12 is this. This is the way he puts it. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When I worked at the golf course, they let me mow greens one time. Here was the rule if you were going to mow the greens, okay, if you've ever worked on a golf course. You find a point straight ahead, and you drive toward that. The temptation at all times is to look down to the side, but what happens when you look down to the side? You pull off course, right? Find a fixed point, keep your eyes on that, and walk one step at a time, or drive one step at a time. Now, what they didn't tell me was also, well, they probably did, be ready to lift up the mower at the end of the green so that you don't drive into the fairway. Hypothetically, somebody may have done that. What Jesus beckons us to do is to fix our eyes on him. Okay? Now, this is not to ignore the reality around us, but to put the reality around us in its proper place. It's that his voice is louder, that his law is greater, that his affection, his love of neighbor, his justice, his mercy, his call to righteousness, his call to holiness, that we fix our eyes on him. And listen, the path is going to be difficult. That's a promise that we have. There's going to be lots of distraction. And it may not be poverty. It may be abundance that becomes the distraction. And it may not be those people on the other side of the political aisle. It may be the people on your side of the political aisle. It may not be something that is terrible that comes in. It may be something that is good that becomes everything. And so Jesus says, fix your eyes on me so that you know to the right and the left what needs to be put in its proper place. That the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So this morning, we're going to start this next week. We'll be in Psalm 120. This morning, this is an invitation to repentance and renewal. and renewal. This is an invitation to begin examining, where are my eyes fixed? Which voices are louder in my ears? Is it fears? Is it justification? My own, like I have to justify myself? Is it my own validation? Is it what I'm scared of over here that is causing me to come back this way that I'm not even looking? Is it finances and the worry of finances? Is it rights? Listen, these things are important. There are things in life that are important. But when they become utmost, when they become, this is my functional God, that's when we get, when we become fixed on them, is when we get off the path. So this morning, this is the invitation. This is our, that God would soften our hearts as we prepare to go through this, that he would be both encouraging, that he would be present, that he would be the stream of water that roots us and builds us up, that we would see clearly to do the commission that he has called us to do. So, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll take communion together for those who are followers of Jesus. And what I want to pray is that God would begin to soften our hearts, that we would be open to this, that we would make a commitment to doing this together, to walking this path together, to hearing from other people, to having our eyes and our ears opened. Where has Jesus' voice been loudest, and where has Jesus' voice been drowned by the crowd? And the call to repentance, maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, and you're like, you know what, I want that path. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't manufacture that, and I can't undo that. But if that's where you're at, if you want to talk, if you want to pray, then I'm all ears. I would love to. We can do it today. We can grab coffee, whatever you want to do. If you're here this morning, you're like, you know what, things are good, but I need this refreshing, because it's easy for me to get to a point where, like, you remember Peter walking on water? The story of Peter walking on water? And as soon as he turns his eyes off Jesus, like, I have this vision of other people that they're like, they have enough holiness built up that they can keep going for a while. And whereas I'm like, if the second I take my eyes off Jesus, I'm down. Listen, the second we take our eyes off Jesus, we're off the path. and so maybe you're like, things are good, but I want to be careful and I'm not resting in confidence, of my own confidence, my own sin management. Or maybe you're at a point where you're like, you know what, I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm wondering if this path is ever going to end. And I need help. I need somebody to carry me along. I need help. I need encouragement. I need support. And my hope and prayer for you is that this is not only, and for me, this is not only a refreshing but renewal, that God is faithful. And yes, the path is long, and it's supposed to be long. I'm rambling now, but I promise I'll get done. There was a guy on Twitter that said, you know, just because you go to therapy doesn't mean you're crazy. And I said, or it does, and it's okay. You know, and he was like, that's pretty offensive. And I said, well, all right, but listen. Sometimes I don't want to hear, like, no, you can be fixed and everything will be okay, and therapy is okay to help you get fixed. Sometimes I want to hear, listen, lots of people are crazy. And that's, you're part of lots of people. Like, you don't have to, like, smooth that out for me. And so the invitation to this path is long, faithful obedience in the same direction. Left foot, right foot. Miracle cures, maybe. Maybe for some things. But really what we're called to as a people is to sing these songs and to walk one step at a time as Jesus is the way. We walk along that path, being presented in the presence of God without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. One day. All right? So let me pray for us. God, thank you for your faithfulness and for making known the path. And not only making known the path, but actually putting our feet and holding our feet to us for conviction that brings us back to the path, that helps us to see when we're off. May we be attuned to that. May our ears be opened all the more to hear. And our eyes to see when we are following lesser things. Make our hearts sensitive to those things. when we're tempted to love other things more? May we not cover them up. May we walk in the light. Pray that you would work through your word and through these beautiful songs that the faithful people of old would sing as they came to your temple. May we, as a body, sing these songs faithfully as Christ is and provides the way. And as we walk step by step in faithful obedience, we cannot do this without you, without the Holy Spirit at work in us. So make it so. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Building our identity in Christ for the sake of the world. That's the mission of Refuge Church. For more information, visit us online at seekrefuge.net.